while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Right, good morning everyone. It's good to see a big crowd here. It's still only just morning, so I won't be too long, I hope, you know, because we're running. But what's love got to do with it? How many people remember the Tina Turner song? See, only a few of you. Well, put up your hand if you know the song we're talking about. Oh, that's better. That's better. Yes. Has anybody seen the film? What, you've seen the film, Monica? Yeah, a few people. 1993, I think it came out, and it's about Tina Turner and her husband, Ike Turner, and their sort of awful relationship, really. It's quite sad, almost tragic, almost tragic. Incidentally, there's a film coming out this month in this country called What's Love Got to Do With It? And it's a comedy, so it's not the same thing. It's got Lily James in the lead. How many people have seen the film Baby Driver? Have you seen Baby Driver, anybody? Well, only my wife. I've seen it. But she's got the lead in that, and she's got the lead in this film coming up. I don't know what it's about, because I haven't seen it. It hasn't come out here yet. But it's all about things like that. But when we're talking about what's love got to do with it in church, of course, it's, I could answer that question in one word. Everything. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Right, I'm going to sit down here. Well, I mean, we've already heard this morning the way that Monique has led us, and some of the songs we've sung, and you know, and some of the Bible readings we've already had, how important love is in the life of a Christian. If it's not there, then you're not really living the life of a Christian. And there's so many Bible references. There's some. Monique was talking about going to Google. She'd rather go to the Bible. Well, I need to go to the Google to find out what passage in the Bible I'm looking for, you know, which is what I do. And it's amazing. I mean, if I was looking up every passage to do with love in the Bible, well, we'd be here till this time next week, obviously. I've written down a few of them, and we might get them later. But I just want to start at the beginning and go back to Leviticus. Long, long time ago in the Old Testament. And if we look at that passage, and we're not going to look at it for a moment, but first of all, I want to go, the Jews in the Old Testament, they lived their lives according to what we call the Old Law. And what's the Old Law? Well, it's the Ten Commandments, really, isn't it? And I thought perhaps we'd look at the Ten Commandments briefly. I don't know if we can get it up on screen. If we can get the Ten Commandments up on screen from Exodus chapter 20 and 2 to 17. If not, if we can't get it, there we are. Now, if we can rattle through this quickly, I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to say, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Next one, please. Is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Or you shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Next one. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Next one. Okay, next one. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Carry on, please. Remember the Sabbath day. Right, this is all the Ten Commandment, actually. Carry on, please. Right, stop there a moment. In the Ten Commandments, where we will go back to the last one, please. Thank you. You see the word love? That is the only time in the Ten Commandments where the word appears. And it's not us. It is saying that God himself shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love me. Right? That's the only time the word love appears. If we carry on, which we won't do now because of time, every single commandment starts off, you shall not do something. There's only one that doesn't start off, you shall not. And that is, I wonder if anybody can work it out. Honour your father and mother. Well done. Honour your father and mother. Right? And that is the only one that says, you shall not. It's the only positive one, if you like. Right? And even that one says, honour your father and mother, because it means you're going to live a long time if you do. And I take that as being a sensible commandment. If you don't obey what your parents tell you, or whoever's looking after you when you're growing up, you get run over by a car for a start, because you walk straight into the road. If you don't do other things, you'll fall over the edge of a cliff. Or you honour because it's necessary for you to live a long life, otherwise you die early. So it's sense, isn't it? But the thing about that comes out to me about the Ten Commandments is the negativity of it all. And sadly, I think about so often when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he was dealing with people who are only concerned with what you should not do, not with what you should do. And then if we look at the Leviticus verses, could we get those up, please? Don't steal. Right, still negative. Don't lie. Don't deceive anyone. Don't swear falsely, use my name. Don't exploit your friend or rob him, which is getting to, you know, being a... Don't curse the deaf. Don't pervert justice. Don't show favouritism. Now, don't show favouritism to either the poor or the great. We're getting somewhere now. I know it's saying don't, but it's suggesting that you at least start considering other people. Don't just stand by when your neighbour's life is in danger. I am God. Don't spread gossip and rumours. Now, there's a good one. Still, don't. Don't secretly hate your neighbour, which is getting towards what Jesus said, love your neighbour. If you have something against him, get it out into the open. Otherwise, you're an accomplice in his guilt. Any more? Don't seek revenge or carry a grudge. Love your neighbour as yourself. I am God. That's in the Old Testament. And yet, I'm sure that most Pharisees never bothered to think about that. They thought about the Ten Commandments. So we're getting somewhere now. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now, how do we get to being where we are today? It starts off with God. God's love overwhelms everything. It's because God first loved us that we love him. And there are passages in the Bible that sort of remind us about this. And it's very important when we're thinking about things like that, God's love for us. There are so many passages in the Old Testament about God's love for us. And I've got a few of them here, which I shall read out very quickly. Just a few. Now, I've said at the beginning that I go to Google to find out what I want to find out in the Bible. Where is it? It comes up with numerous passages from the Old Testament, God's love for us. It goes on. I'll give you a few. Psalm 51, verses 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Psalm 86, 15. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. I've got about 7 or 8 more of those, but I'm not going to carry on. And I think, well, this is amazing. There's all these passages in the Bible about God's love for us. All right. So we look at all of those, and then I think to myself, we so often talk about the steadfast love of the Lord in from the Old Testament, don't we? And yet, I wonder why the Pharisees don't conclude that because steadfast love on us, they ought to copy it towards other people. They just didn't. And when Jesus came along, of course, he changed all of that. In the Sermon on the Mount, which I think is probably one of the most important parts of the whole Bible, really, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about what we should do. He sums up the whole of the law in two commandments, doesn't he? The first one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second one is like unto it, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, it's the as yourself bit, which a lot of people seem to forget about. Well, they love their neighbour, but as long as their neighbour doesn't sort of do something better than they do, or, you know, get more money than they do, or anything like that. As yourself, this is the important bit. So God's love for us. In the Old Testament, we talk so many times about God's love for us, all right? And his steadfast love, his steadfast love. I thought, this comes up a few times, doesn't it? I should look it up. Now, I can't find the bit of paper, but I went to Google to find out how many times in the Bible the steadfast love of the Lord is mentioned. And if you hang on a moment, I'll find out what the answer was, I think. One minute. Here we are. Yeah. It said, this is Google, in the English Standard Version of the Bible, steadfast love is mentioned 196 times in the Old Testament, and 127 times of those is in the Psalms alone. Think of that. 127 times in the Psalms alone, the steadfast love. Now we know the song, don't we? I don't know if we can get this up. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Now, it's completely by chance. I looked up how many times steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Oh, sorry. The steadfast love of the Lord occurs in the Psalms and in the Bible. And incidentally, it also told me something else. The phrase, do not be afraid, is written in the Bible 365 times. It occurred to me that's every morning, every day of the year, the promise is renewed, do not be afraid. I think that is wonderful. That's just by chance, 365. So Google can do us a good favour sometimes. We're talking about love here, aren't we? And the different kinds of love. I mean, Felix is the expert on this. So he's already told us what it all means. The love of the Lord, the love that the Lord gives, is called agape, yes? Right? And it's different, a bit different from what the other two. There's filler. Philia, brotherly love, and eros, which is sexual love or something like that. Sexual love, we often think, we don't talk about that, but it's in the Bible. If you look at if you read the Song of Solomon, it's all about eros. It's in the Bible. It's part of the Old Testament, and the different kinds of love. But there's nothing that can match agape. But agape is always the kind of love that you give without expecting anything back. You get something back just because you're doing it, actually, but you don't do it for that reason. Agape is selfless love. We've already had the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't get heated up and all the rest of it. Love doesn't do, you know, and so on. You know what I'm talking about. You love without expecting anything back. You're not going to be sort of a top of the class and hope to be every time. You know, other people matter. And there are so many passages that talk about how we ought to respond to one another. Some of these I was going to read out. It's God's love for us. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. We've done those. But what about our relationship with other people? Well, here we are. Okay, here's some. All right. 1 John 4:7-8. I think we've had this one. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:20-21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. All right? There are so many passages about this. I mean, most of them are sort of familiar with us, but there's others that we only come across by chance. Passages on the nature of love. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offences. 1 Corinthians 13. We've had that, haven't we? Love is patient and kind. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, but love never ends. And I could go on, and there's numerous things about how we look at things like that. It's important when we are considering this question of love that we always think about what the Bible actually intends to say to us, to convey to us. Loving others as yourself. Some of the saints of old have been renowned for considering other people to their own detriment, if necessary. I mean, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I was talking about, we were talking about things like this, I mentioned the prayer of Francis of Assisi. Make me... Sorry? Make me a... Yes. Make me a... What's the next word? I'm deaf. I can't, and I couldn't hear you. But I was making sure that you knew the right words. Make me a channel of your peace, where there is, you know, and it goes on, doesn't it? Everything, and it's completely self-effacing, if you like, you know. And that's how we've got to be. If we're not like that, according to the Bible, then we're not living the word of peace. I mean, we often say this: it's great to come into church and sing about praise of God and then go out and start telling anybody about what Mrs. Smith has just done down the road or so. Well, it's, and that is wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. And we've always got to be sort of positive about the way we treat others. We had a couple of lovely sermons a couple of weeks ago. We had one on giving, didn't we, by Sumi, about giving. If you're a Christian, you give. You don't take, you give.
We had another one by Pastor Richard, was it? On, what was it? I'm still waiting. This is only 2 weeks ago, come on. What did he preach on? Encouragement. So who said that? I'm glad somebody remembered. Sully, thank you. On encouragement, you get, if you're a really God-filled Christian, or a Christ-filled Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian, if you like, then you give, you encourage. One of the worst things you can do is go around discouraging. And yet people do it all the time, don't they? You discourage. And it, the Bible tells us we've got to give of ourselves. We've got to give of ourselves. And if we don't do that, then we are really not going to get, you know, where we should be. I'll just read you a couple of passages. This one, Philippians 2:3-8, and it's from the Message. I don't know if we got this up on screen, but I'll read it anyway. No. This is from the Message. Just verses 2 to 4. Sorry, 1 to 4. Now, the Message is American, so it's got American language, but, you know, you'll excuse that, I'm sure. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything at all to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favour, agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Well, if that doesn't say what it means, I don't know what does. And in the same vein, the first epistle of John and chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they'd done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. And to finish, I'll just remind you about this story of the Good Samaritan. I won't tell the whole story because we haven't got time, but you know the story, don't you? That the Samaritan was on a horse or donkey, and he was going along the road, and he saw this Jew who'd been beaten up, was lying in distress at the side of the road. The passage already tells us that a priest, a Jewish priest, and then a Levite had walked past. Both supposed to be religious people. They just walked past on the other side, taking no notice. So it took not just a foreigner, but a foreigner that they didn't get on with. It's a bit like Israel and the Palestinians today. The Palestinian had gone and picked up the Jew who'd been sort of beaten up, even when his own fellow men had walked past. And he took him and saw that he was, and he actually paid for him to be looked after, etc. And so Jesus was telling that story because it was saying, we look after our neighbour. Who is my neighbour? That was the answer. My neighbour is anybody, especially anybody in distress, even your enemy. In fact, some would say especially your enemy, if you see them in distress. That is the kind of thing we're talking about. I'll just finish with some words from, these are from an American preacher, but I can't remember his name actually, but when I saw it, I wrote it down. When we think about holiness, when I think about holiness, he says, let's make sure we don't just think about avoiding things or staying away from this or that, like the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Yes, that plays out in many different ways in our holiness, but let's also think about pursuing people, laying down our lives for others. This is real holiness, loving other people by looking out for their interests, laying down your life to serve others in their need. This is holiness.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.